Boker Tov, everybody. Welcome. It's a pleasure to see you all. So we have, we're nearing to Erev Shavuot, almost the last two Shiurim before Shavuot. It's a pleasure to welcome Dr. Benny Gesundheit, who I had the pleasure of meeting when he spent 3 years in Toronto doing a degree in pediatric hematology oncology at Sick Kids Hospital. And he gave many, many, many shiurim in Toronto. And while he was here on the side doing that, he got a PhD in Jewish medical ethics. He's taught at Hebrew University at Soroka, and he does a lot of work in tefillah and medical ethics. I always like to call a Renaissance man. It's an interest in so many fields. A native of Switzerland, as you'll probably hear in his voice. And he learned in Yeshivat Har Etzion for many years. And it's a pleasure, Dr. Benny, have you back online, and Bakasha, it's all yours.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Jay. It's a pleasure to meet you all. I have great memories of your activities some 20 years ago, and now I see the activities going on worldwide from people in Israel here in the audience, from Toronto. What a pleasure that we could meet at the Corona time and sit together and get ready for Matan Torah with the topic of Birkat HaTorah. And I would like to say in introduction, I have a strong interest in tefillah, both the rabbinical sources, but most importantly, the meaning of the tefillah, the value, the messages, the philosophical messages that we have to educate ourselves and our children. And here we have a special bracha for Limud Torah. Thinking before Shavuot about Limud Torah is a special bracha. Having a bracha, to think about it, is an additional bracha. Because Chachamim had a very good insight, before you do any mitzvah or enjoy any hana'ah that you have from anything you enjoy, you say a bracha. Chachamim told us, taught us, if you do something beforehand, think about it, and they established brachot to increase our awareness of what we are going to do. Very interesting that for Birkat HaTorah, we say it every day. So what I'm going to talk now about on the Birkat HaTorah is not only for Shavuot once a year. It is every day we start our Siddur, the prayer book, quite at the beginning with Birkat HaTorah. And I'm trying to take, I don't know what the background is from the audience, and there might be many levels of background. Some who have yeshiva background, others who have less background in that, but if we want to understand a bracha, we have to go back to the Talmud and ask interesting questions. I would like to show you observations which for me are fascinating. I studied the topic some 40 years ago plus when I was in the yeshiva, and all the time I see interesting new insights which I put now online. You see Susan Suna here. Susan helps me with the website, and I'm trying to teach Torah through the website, through this shiurim, and bringing meaning from the Talmud to our daily life and to the Chagim. And here I would like to start with the Birkot HaTorah, which here is the outline of the shiur. I'm trying to focus on Iunei Tefillah, learning Siddur. And here the topic is Shavuot according to the Talmud and Midrash. I should apologize that I didn't have time to translate everything, and my apologies for that, but I can present it in a more attractive way that you should enjoy now a shiur in Hebrew, because Limud Torah is in Hebrew. So my lack of translating that into English, I prefer to present it Lomdim Be'ivrit, the Yerushalmi says, V'shinantam levanecha v'dibarta bam, you should teach it your children and you should talk about them. The Yerushalmi, the Talmud who was created, there was one in Babylon and the other Talmud from Yerushalayim. The Talmud in Babylon, of course, not the Talmud in Yerushalayim, not the Talmud in Babylon, says Limud Torah is only in Hebrew. So that is the apology that not everything is translated. I would like to focus learning the tefillah always occur according to a certain structure. We have sources from the Mikra, the Bible, Mishnah, Talmud, and later on. It's very good to have this template in mind so we don't get confused. And as a topic for Birkat HaTorah, from the Bible. We have Parshat Bikurim, Megillat Rut, Matan Torah. We have a lot of wonderful things to learn from the Bible. From the Talmud and Midrash relevant to the Siddur, what I'm interested in, I would like to focus on the three brachot we say when we start learning. Chachamim say we should learn always a third in Mikra, in the Bible, a third Mishnah, and a third in Talmud. Chachamim have a very structured way of thinking. So my scheme here, the template of Bible, Mishnah, Talmud, has a very, very good background in Chazal. However, and even based on these guidelines, after the Birkat HaTorah, we have a short section from the Bible, Birkat Kohanim, the blessings of the Kohanim, and Mishnah, and afterwards a Gemara from Shabbat. After Birkat HaTorah, right away, we start with these three sources in order to follow this rule. I will not have time to elaborate. That would be another shiur, hopefully next year, to talk about this approach of systematic learning. Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud. We leave that for another time. It's based on the Rambam and a beautiful work by Rabbi Professor Tversky. I would like to focus now on these three brachot. And my approach to the brachot is that we should take meaning, understand the source in the Talmud, and take a very meaningful message out of it. The Rambam, Nachmanides, has a famous letter, Igeret HaRambam, by one pager, a big page, a beautiful, beautiful letter to his son. And he tells him very privately, Midot, and he says, always when you learn, think about the learning. What is the take-home message? How does it change you? What is the impact for your life, for your behavior, for your raison d'être? So I think with going ahead with this question, we will hopefully find very interesting insights. I published that some 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago, and I hope 14 years ago, and I'm pleased to present it to you now. I will ask questions. We have three brachot for Birkat Limud Torah. The source is in the Talmud. Why three brachot? If Chachamim have different opinions, which bracha you say for a fruit, a vegetable, at the end, there is a decision. Cut it, one or the other. We don't do everything that is mentioned, the three opinions, we don't take all of them. We will see in a moment that the Talmud mentions three opinion, and there is a fourth opinion who says, oh, how wonderful. We have three opinions. Instead of making a decision, Rav Papa says, Hilkach lemer lechulu. Therefore, let's take all of them. There is a lack of decision. Instead of taking one of them, they take all these brachot. That needs an elaboration. Is there a connection between these brachot? Why do you say three brachot on one mitzvah? It's only one mitzvah. Normally, if we don't know, we don't remember, we are not sure, we should say a bracha. Safek brachot l'akel. We are not sure we should say a bracha or not. So don't say it. Make what you have to do. Perform the mitzvah. But don't repeat a bracha if it's not necessarily, because we don't say the Shem Shamayim, the name of God, without justification. If you don't remember and you have a doubt about it, say only one. And here we have three opinions. And Rav Papa says we take all of them, and that's what we have in our Siddur. I want to show the flow of these three opinions, and it will... And I will explain briefly why we say afterwards Birkat Kohanim, because it fits very, very nicely to the message of this analysis. As I showed you, the learning of Limud Torah, therefore the picture here, the learning should bring us, the Torah should get closer to us, and we should get closer to the Torah. So that is the meaning to show it here. We have here the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, Daf Yud Aleph, and it is a very, very short section of 11 lines, where the Gemara asked a question. I don't know if there are people who never learned Gemara or never experienced Gemara. I would like to take you now to a Talmudic experience to talk about three Chachamim, and each of them should have a face. Each of them should reflect his vision, his educational philosophy, what means learning to him. And that is something beautiful. I'm excited that Chachamim, some 1800 years ago, asked these questions, and they presented their answers. And that's exactly what we discuss today during all the generations, what we learn. Here is the source in the Gemara. It is here in big letters. I have this Hebrew version here of the three opinions, but I would like to go, I would like to go to the translated text. And I will read it in Hebrew and translate it briefly. My mevarech. The Gemara asks, what is the text, the blessing that we say for Limut Torah? One opinion says, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Asher kideshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. The first opinion by Rav Yehuda, in the name of his teacher, Shmuel, he says the text we say is, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, blessed are you Hashem, who sanctified us with the mitzvot and commanded us to engage in matters of Torah. They translate to engage. Esek today means a business. Liot Asuk means to be busy. It's the same activity. This bracha has a very, very special content, message, and a formal framework. It is like every mitzvah of Birkat HaMitzvot, Asher Kideshanu B'mitzvotav, to do something. Al Netilat Yadayim, Laniach Tfilin, Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbat, Asher Kideshanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu, we do something. That is the framework, the phrasing. The top, the wording, La'asok B'divrei Torah, means to do something. I'm not sure that to engage is the best translation. Interesting that one of the commentators to the Shulchan Aruch says La'asok is from the source Esek, Ein Sin Kuf. It says in the Bible when Yitzchak was digging the Be'erot, I say Be'erot, the fountains, the springs, people were fighting with him, Vait Askuimo, they were fighting with him. So, la'asok b'divrei Torah, interesting, is not only to be busy with that. It means to have a confrontation, to have an encounter. We face it. We deal with it. Gemara, we ask a question. Does it make sense? Is it logic? What do other things? To elaborate it. What we learn from the first philosophical approach, from the first opinion, we have a clear philosophical approach. Learning the Torah is, you take a book, you fix your time during the day, and you learn. If you are busy for an hour, you fulfill the mitzvah. It is the activity, it is the action of learning. What the details of these actions are, we don't know. He doesn't say it, but it is a birkat hamitzvot. We say something for an activity. Interesting enough, there is a second opinion related to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, he has another text. He has another approach. He comes from another place to the mitzvah. He analyzes the mitzvah of Limud Torah in a different way. And Rav Yochanan says, Rav Yochanan mesayim ba'achi. Please pay attention. It doesn't say Rav Yochanan amar. Rav Yochanan brings his opinion. It's not opinion A and opinion B. Rav Yochanan concludes the previous opinion by the following text. How do I know that? Because that's the wording of Mesayim. And his bracha doesn't start with, no, I have my own opinion, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Ha'arevna. That's not what he says. He uses the first opinion, and whatever he says is an addition to the first opinion. I add on to the first one the following text. What is he saying? Ha'arevna Hashem Elokeinu et divrei Toratcha befinu ubefiot amcha beit Yisrael. Make it, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouth and in the mouth of your people, of all the house of Israel. What is he saying? He doesn't say this activity has to be done more intense, more learning. He comes, no, the nature, not the quality of the learning has to be sweet. If it's not sweet, the mitzvah is not done right. And I will show that to you in a moment, why I think that is the only right, correct understanding. If Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, we need action, We need a schedule. We need a syllabus. We need an hour. We learn 2 hours. That's the learning. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not the action per se. It is the attitude. It has to be performed. I agree with you. But on top of that, I request, make it sweet, meaningful. It should touch your heart. For in our mouth, b'fiyot amcha Yisrael, v'niyeh anachnu v'tzeetzayinu v'tzeetzeh amcha b'et Yisrael, kulanu yodei shmecha v'oskei toratecha. And we should be with our children and grandchildren of the entire Jewish people, people who know your name, those who know your name and engage in your Torah. Engage in your Torah is exactly the same wording, oskei toratecha, here, which the first opinion said, la'asok b'divrei Torah. So it makes a lot of sense that Rabbi Yochanan is not coming in his own opinion. He says the previous opinion needs a very special color. It has to put in the light. No, it's not just learning. It's not just finishing every hour, 5 hours, and finishing a masechet, and finishing and learning, and being busy with that. It is the attitude. It is the experience of sweetness and of teaching. The same way, how does he conclude? Baruch Ata Hashem, HaMelamed Torah LaMo Yisrael. We thank Hashem who is teaching the Torah to his people. The same way Hashem is teaching to his people, we should teach in a sweet way. It should be in our mouth, in the mouth of our children, and we should be Yodei Shmecha. We should not only learn the text, we should learn you. We should know about Hashem. That is the attitude of Rabbi Yochanan. So he adds on here, it's not about the learning alone, it is about the meaning. Where does it, v'nihyeh anachnu? We should be, based on the learning, better people, different people. You can be a professor for Judaistic, and you can be a great scholar. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you can learn 20 hours a day. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to bring it to your children. And if I'm not teaching, I didn't fulfill the mitzvah because I didn't take care that the Torah should touch the children as well. According to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, if one is busy all day long and all night long with his own learning, terrific. Asher kideshanu mitzvotav v'tzivanu lasok b'divrei Torah. He is busy. Whatever he is more busy, more learning, according to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he fulfills it. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you could learn another masechet and more knowledge and more knowledge. That's not the bottom line. The bottom line is you bring it to the Jewish people. You teach it and you spread it. That's a nice opportunity to thank Rabbi Jay for everything you are doing. Okay, here we have Rabbi Yochanan who teaches, who makes sure everybody knows it. His children, grandchildren, Tzeitzei Amcha Beit Yisrael, everybody. Rabbi Yochanan is against it, that it should be a scholarship locked in a library in the Beit Midrash. If he is only in the Beit Midrash and he's not teaching, he is unhappy with the very important activity of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, but he tells very clearly, you're not done with that. Only when you teach it. That's the second opinion. Rav Hamnuna Amar, the third opinion is from Rav Hamnuna, and he says, no, asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, v'natan lanu et torato, baruch ata Hashem, noten ha'torah. He praises Hashem, who has chosen us from all the other nations, and given us his Torah, and he blesses him as a giver of the Torah. Oh, the giving of the Torah was 3,000 plus years ago. So he says, I thank you that you chose the Jewish people from all other nations, and you gave once historically 1,000 years ago the Torah, but he praises him not, Baruch Ata Hashem, Natan HaTorah, who gave us once the Torah. He praises him, Noten HaTorah. You give the Torah today and now. By learning it today, I experience that you gave it once, but I didn't live 3,500 years ago. So by the historical event at Matan Torah, you actually give it every day if I learn it. That is a very, very meaningful message of Rav Hamnuna. What is he talking about? He talks about the status of the Jewish people being chosen from all other nations and having experienced the Matan Torah in the past, which continues to this very day. Natan lanu et haTorah, noten haTorah. Rav Hanuna talks about the historical, national, or international framework of Limud Torah. The Limud Torah creates and shapes the Jewish people. That happened by the Bechira that Hashem chose us and gave us once historically the Torah. These are different levels. Now we have a very, very unique statement. Three opinions, pick it. We have to decide. Normally we have the first one argues with the second with the third. With the third one. And we have a discussion. Why is he not saying like him? And why is he not agreeing with the other three Jews? Three opinions, explain and sharpen your opinion. No, we don't have that here. We have two comments. Rav Hanuna says, Amar Rav Hanuna zohi me'ula shebebrachot. That is very unique. That Rav Hanuna, at the end of the discussion of the three opinions, he says, oh, you know what? My opinion is the best. Why is he saying that? Why does the Talmud, very good that everybody is happy and believes in what he does, but why is he doing that? So we should see that this third bracha is the best one because we talk about a historical framework, a historical national framework. It's something for the entire world, Mikol Armin. Afterwards, we don't know what to do. And in our text in the Gemara, it says, oh, we don't know how to decide. We have three words here. Hilkach, lemu, lekulu. Therefore, let us recite them all. And what we do today, we have three opinions in the Birkat HaTorah. Why is that? If you don't know to decide, why is that the reason to take all of them? And as I asked before, to say two additional brachot for only one mitzvah. It is according to other manuscripts, it's referred to Rav Papa. Rav Papa said we should say all of them, and Rav Papa has this opinion in many places. I would like now to do a game or that is the text of the Brachot. I would like now to see, it's not the best graphic we have here. I would like now, here we have this text from the Talmud, opinion one and opinion B, opinion C. And we saw the first one says you have to fulfill a mitzvah, go and learn. Rabbi Yochanan says it should be sweet. And Rav Hanuna says you should be aware that's the Jewish people. That's what it's all about to be Jewish, to have the Torah, which goes back to Matan Torah. And Hashem gave us the Torah at Har Sinai. I would like now to invite these three Rabbanim. And it's actually a very nice play. I did it in Clinton Park, Rabbi J, 20 years ago. And I had the honor that Talmidei Chachamim read, everybody said his opinion. One played Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, and one Rabbi Yochanan, and one Rav Hanuna. We have today a wonderful tool, which is the search system of Bar Ilan University. There are many other tools, a search system. And I put, at the very beginning when I started to study that, I put in the system, please show me in the rabbinical literature, what does Rav Yudah and Shmuel say about learning Torah? What does Rav Yochanan say about it? And Rav Hanuna and Rav Papa. And that was a nice way, instead of explaining these three sages from the Talmud, the so-called Amoraim, instead that I explain what I think that they say, I just give them the microphone and tell them, oh, I search in the search system, and I want to know what else does this personality say about Limud Torah. And that was for me like a hitgalut, a revelation of to understand Gemara in a better way. The Gemara says in another place a very meaningful message, guideline, minayin shechayav adam laharot panim. A teacher has to show his face to his student. He has to show him a personal approach in learning. Here we have the opportunity to understand these three outstanding Talmidei Chachamim and understand why does everybody say what he suggests as a bracha. And at the end, we will see a flow of thoughts that all the three brachot are a wonderful, beautiful entity, and therefore Chachamim took them all. That doesn't happen usually. And here we have a very full handout, which is what I sent you as a handout for the lecture. I think if it's printed out, we can read. You can read it, hopefully. But for the slides now, I will go in a smaller size. And there are a lot of examples. It took me, it was a fascinating search of learning about that. I will take only selected cases of every Chacham. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says in another context, if somebody learns Torah and he didn't say the bracha, theoretically, if he said Kriyat Shema and the bracha beforehand, which is called Ahava Rabbah, where it says about Limud Torah, talks about Limud Torah, one does not have to repeat the bracha for Limud Torah afterwards. Why? Because this text is actually a kiyum, a fulfillment of a bracha. Ahava Rabbah Aftanu, you gave us the Torah, and in the context of Kriyat Shema, Yatzata, we fulfilled our mitzvah, don't say brachot twice. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says the bracha is only relevant if you get up very early in the morning and before you go to the tefillah, before you say this bracha, you want to learn for an hour, at that point in time you have to say the bracha. He has a very practical, schedule, agenda-oriented approach. When do you say it? In the morning. Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, says in another place in Masechet Kiddushim, says how much should the what's the extent of the mitzvah? Are you done when you know the whole library? Are you done? Ad heichan chayav adam lelamed et benot Torah. So he quotes Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, the same chacham, the same sage of the Talmud. There was a chacham Zvulun ben Dan. Shelimdo Avi Aviv, his grandfather, taught him Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halacha, and Agadot. So he had a syllabus. Go ahead, learn the Bible, learn the entire Mishnah, learn the entire Talmud, learn all the Halachot. That time there was no Shulchan Aruch and no Rambam, and learn Agadot. Very, very interesting. It is exactly the same systematic approach that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, we have a big syllabus learning Torah. The curriculum is not for 2 afternoons and you are done. It is the entire Bible, the entire Mishnah, and Talmud. The three sources we quote afterwards after Limud Torah. And you say also Halachot, you have to know what to do from the learning. But also Agadot with some spiritual and philosophical aspect, otherwise the learning is not full. So he gives us a curriculum that will keep us busy. I just want to point out something very interesting. He doesn't say that Zvulun ben Dan, he was taught by his father. It was his grandfather. So he is aware that learning is something related to the family, a tradition of the parents and of the great parents. There are more examples on him, but I would like now to move on to Rabbi Yochanan. Just to summarize Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, la'asok b'divrei Torah, it's an action plan, it is a syllabus. It is a coverage of the rabbinical, of the volume of the rabbinical literature, Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachot v'Agadot. Rabbi Yochanan, he says it has to be sweet. And here we have a lot of sources on this Chacham, and I would like to show you here a beautiful example how the Talmud is explained sometimes in another place. There is a different place in the Talmud which gives us a very, very interesting insight on this source in the Talmud, and I think here we have a beautiful example for it. The first example I presented here on a different slide. It says in the Gemara in Masechet Baba Metzia, Rabbi Yochanan, you have the translation in the lower part, Rav Parnach, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, said, Kol shehu talmid chacham uben bnot talmid chacham uben bnot talmid chacham kol shehu chacham uvnot talmid chacham uben bnot talmid chacham shuv ein Torah poseket mizaro leolam. If someone is a scholar in the Torah, and his son as well, and his grandson as well, the Torah will never again cease from his children, from his family. Why? Because there is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, lo yamush an elaboration of the pasuk lo yamushu mipicha umpizaracha umpizerazaracha amar Hashem me'ata ve'ad olam. The Torah will not cease from you, and it says at the end of the pasuk in Yeshayahu, says the Lord from now and forever. So Rabbi Yochanan says here, very good, if you educate your children, and by your children, the grandchildren, or directly to the grandchildren, the Torah will stay. That's tradition. That is Jewish tradition, which goes from Har Sinai to this very day. There is nothing in the Jewish, there is nothing in history of mankind that the tradition goes over 3,000 plus years. Nobody in Greek or nobody in Rome really believes or teaches or learns what was taught in Rome 2,000 years ago, or in Greek even earlier than that. And nobody really believes in the old belief system. It's very interesting for Western culture, but it's not relevant for here. If we say that Bno, the Ben Bno, that is the oldest, still fully active tradition in human history. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if you continue, it will go on. Amar Hashem, at the end it says, that is what the Lord says, from now on and forever. So the Gemara asks there, what is the meaning? The Lord says that from now on and forever. What is the significance of this phrase, Amar Hashem? And the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, I am your grantor in this matter. Ani arev lecha b'davar zeh. Arev in this context, and that's what I try to show out, to point out here, arev means I guarantee you that. I'm your guarantor. These two Gemarot are strongly related. We hear Rabbi Yochanan explaining, teach children and grandchildren, and that is the guarantor. Arev, I have no way to translate that to English. In Hebrew, he says, v'ha'arevna, the learning should be sweet. It's exactly the same word. The word has two meanings. But how do you compare a guarantor with sweetness? How does that fit together? Is he trying to make me to create a confusion? And I think here we have a beautiful, amazing chidush comparing the two gemarot, which talk about a message from Rabbi Yochanan for the bracha and a message from Rabbi Yochanan for teach children. That's the guarantor. God is the guarantor. When is he a guarantor? If the learning is sweet. If we have a sweet learning and it touches our soul, that will make a huge, huge difference. And here we see Rabbi Yochanan, he says, if the learning is just an academic activity, and you're a doctor and a PhD and a professor in Judaistic studies, that's not what we want. We want sweetness that comes to the family and creates Am Yisrael. By the sweetness, there is a guarantee that it will make, that it will continue. So that is the first insight from Rabbi Yochanan. And here he has another statement, Rabbi Yochanan. It's very interesting to read about him and learn about this brilliant personality in the Mishnah and the Gemara. He says an amazing statement. Kol mi she'amar divrei Torah barabim ve'inan arevim l'shomem kekala zo she'ariva al bnei Adam b'chupata noach lo shelo amaram. If somebody says Dvar Torah in a broader audience, in public, and they are not sweet for everybody who listens to him, like a kala, room which is sweet, beloved, at the day of her chuppah, of her wedding, you shouldn't have said what you said. Limud Torah, and it's a pain in the neck, or it's boring, or it's not soft. If you're not a soft-speaking personality, don't talk. But the mitzvah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is you have to teach. So if you have to teach, teach arevim. So that is very beautiful to say, that we see Rabbi Yochanan is a very consistent mind. We have another beautiful example here, going back to a midrash in the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi has very interesting insights. Why was Moshe at Har Sinai relevant now for Matan Torah 40 days? If Moshe Rabbeinu has to learn the Aseret HaDvarim, the Ten Commandments, you take it takes an hour. You know what? Repeat it 10 times, 20 times. In 2 days, you're done. Come downstairs. Yerushalmi asked, why did he have for this psukim not that huge amount of Limud Torah? The two tablets, learn it. An hour, two days, come on, that's it. Why did he have to stay there 40 days for this short text? You can learn it by heart in a day. So the Gemara says that's a big message. Why? Moshe was there. He learned it and he forgot it. And again, he learned it. And why is that? That we want to learn. Oh, Moshe forgot it and he learned it again. He forgot it and he learned it again. Why? Bishvil lachzir et ha-tipshim. Tipshim is not the idiot in a negative sense. In the Yerushalmi, it is a sense in order that those who never learned should know. Moshe Rabbeinu had for this short parasha, he had to stay 40 days on Mount Sinai to learn it. Oh, if I don't understand it, lo nora, I shouldn't give up and I should be motivated to learn it. So what is Rabbi Yochanan saying here? Rabbi Yochanan wants to encourage every student. If you don't get it right away, don't be frustrated. Don't get discouraged from that. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, the big Chacham who gave the Torah Har Sinai. Look at him. 40 days he had to learn it. If it took him such a long time, and I have difficulties to learn, no problem. I could do it as well. That's a beautiful message that Rabbi Yochanan wants to teach every student. He motivates the student. He is an educator. And he says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol halomet Torah ve'eino melamda, dome lahadas bamidbar. If somebody learns, but he doesn't teach, he is like a beautiful tree. How do you say hadas, Rabbi Jay?
I have to unmute myself. A myrtle.
A myrtle.
M-Y, yeah.
So it has a beautiful smell, a beautiful, but it doesn't do anything. In the desert, it will not survive. That is Rabbi Yochanan. You don't teach, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. You're like a wonderful tree in the desert. Nobody cares about it and you will not survive. Learning is teaching. By teaching, you fulfill the mitzvah. That's an unbelievable message. Here he has another statement, which is a fascinating one. Rabbi Yochanan says, a pasuk in Treyasar in Malachi, there's a mistake here. You learn from him Torah, and he is like an angel, a malach. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Im dome harav lemalach, lemalach Hashem yevakshu Torah mipiv." If the teacher is comparable, like an angel from Hashem, you should learn Torah from him. If he is not, don't go to him. That's not only a commandment that I should teach. It's a commandment, it's a mitzvah, how I should behave. I should behave in a way that I'm an example. I'm somebody that people want to learn and to connect to the teacher. They want to imitate him and to get themselves identified with him. So Rabbi Yochanan is the teacher. Rabbi Yudah Mar Shmuel, he is the scholar. You learn and you cover all the field. Rabbi Yochanan says, I agree with you, but that's not enough. You have to go and teach. Now we have Rav Amnuna, third opinion. And Rav Amnuna, we have interesting Ma'amarei Chazal, interesting statements from him all over the Talmud and Midrash. And he says, at the age when the little child is starting to talk, Katana yodea ledaber, aviv lomdo Torah ukriyat shma. When the child learns to talk, teach him Torah and kriyat shma. That's the first thing. What should you teach him Torah? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Hamnuna, this same Rav Hamnuna, you teach him Torah tzivalanu Moshe morasha kilat Yaakov. One of the last psukim in the Torah, talking the last pasuk talking about limud Torah, in the blessing of Moshe, at the end of Sefer, at the end of the Torah, Torah tzivalanu Moshe. Moshe told us, taught us the Torah, and it is a morasha. That's a play with the words. Moshe is a morasha. Moshe is a legacy for all the Jewish people because the teacher, he's a legacy, Moshe, Moshe, Tait Yaakov. What does Rav Hamnuna want the child to understand that day one when he can talk? He has to remember, once we learned from Moshe, and he created a learning which shapes the Jewish people. You don't have to understand the whole Tanakh. You don't have to understand the whole Mishnah and all the details. You have just to understand one point. It's given from Moshe from Har Sinai, and it stays with you during your whole life. He says another saying. He says that there are 613 mitzvot in the Torah. Mitzvot aseh velot aseh, active mitzvot and prohibitions. And that is connected to the body of the human being. And he relates that again, Rav Hamnuna, where do we know that from? And he uses this pasuk. So it is the complexity and the unity of the entire Torah that Rav Hamnuna wants to emphasize. And he says in other midrashim, which I will not present in more detail, he says in other midrashim that why was the Jewish people, why was the Mikdash, the temple, destroyed, and you had to go to the diaspora because they didn't respect the Torah. So the Torah has a meaning of Eretz Yisrael, diaspora. There is a very, very broad meaning according to Rav Hamnuna. That's exactly what you said. Hashem gave us the Torah. He chose us from all the nations. Our uniqueness as a nation, the bottom line is as a Jewish people. Now, these are the three opinions. I forgot to show you another source, and I have to add it on now on Rabbi Yochanan. And that's a source which I couldn't find with the search system, but a very, very, very interesting one line of five words by Rabbi Yochanan. It's exactly his personality and his teaching. It says if somebody kills a fellow man unintentionally, he has to go in exile in one of six cities which were in Eretz Yisrael. And he has to stay there for several years till the death of the Kohen Gadol. And it says there, and there he has to live, v'chai, he should live there. And what happens if there is a student and he is learning, and if he is in this city where he is in exile in the city, he is alone, nobody teaches him. So the Gemara says, Megalim Rabo Imo, bring the teacher to him because he is in training and he is learning Gemara. He should be there. Why? He should live there. To live doesn't mean only he needs his food and whatever he needs to make a living. V'chai bahem avit lemide d'teav lechayuta. The learning is also life. Kiem chayenu. Here comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, no, that's not enough. Not only that the teacher has to go with the student, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Harav Shegala, if Chas V'Shalom, the teacher killed unintentionally somebody and he has to go in exile to this city, Rabbi Yochanan says, Harav Shegala, Megalim Yeshivato Imo. You have to bring all his students, his whole yeshiva, to this city. Why? Because it's not only about the student teaching, learning the Torah from his teacher, it's in the same token also the teacher. If he stops teaching, he can't live, he can't continue. So the same way that the student can profit, that the teacher comes to him, in the same way Rabbi Yochanan says, if I'm not teaching, I'm not myself, I can't live there. My life is meaningless. If you don't teach, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. That's exactly to his shita. So these are the three opinions. And now we saw the three opinions. And now we come, why do we say all the three of them? Again, in the Gemara, we had the language, Amar Rav Papa, according to some manuscripts. Therefore, we have to say all of them. In other manuscripts, it says we have to say both. Now we understand very well why these are three opinions, but they are actually two opinions, because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't stand on his own. Ve'arevna is not an opening. Rav Hamnuna, he has his own opening. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam. But Rabbi Yochanan is just a partner of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the first one. Why do you say all of them? And I was bothered by this question. The Gemara doesn't explain why we say all of them. And it was until I read, I had ideas to explain it, and it made a lot of sense to me. And it wasn't until that I saw it. If I have a chidush and nobody else says it, I'm very nervous that it is a mistake. But if I see somebody else says it, I know it was not my chidush, not my own insight, but it was brought by the Maharal from Prague, the famous Rabbi Yehuda Leib Rimi Prague in the 16th century. In his beautiful analysis of Limud Torah, Netivot HaTorah, he says it not very clearly, but I want to say it in his name and to elaborate it. If Rav Papa says, I want you to say all of them, what is he actually saying? He says, Mitzvat Limud Torah, and here we come to the main message. If you don't learn, you just don't know. So please stick to Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Have your learning, have your insights, have your deep understanding and your familiarity with the text. If you don't know, what can you talk about? You have to know. That is step one of Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. But Rav Papa says, I want Rav Yochanan to be part of this flow. If you know and have all the insights Judaistics, that's not enough. We want Rabbi Yochanan. You should go out and teach. That is the second bracha. But we want more than that. If you teach, and everybody today understands the learning and understands the meaning and the philosophy of the Jewish tradition, terrific. But that should bring us back that we are a nation. And if we are a nation, that is the third opinion by Rav Amnuna. So putting them three together is not a lack of a decision to say one or two or three. It is a new creation of the meaning. I look at the three of them and I feel there is a growth of a Talmid Chacham. You learn, you teach, and you are aware of Jewish identity. Hilkach lemu lechulu is a beautiful meaning. And I think if we think about this idea for Shavuot, by learning, we want to teach it and to create a Jewish society, a Jewish family. V'nihyeh anachnu. We should be somebody else. It should change our nature. But by doing it for ourselves, we are part of a very long tradition from Har Sinai, and Hashem chose us from all the nations, and the Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah historically, is an ongoing daily bracha. Why? Because I learn, I teach, and I'm part of it. If I'm not learning, first opinion, I'm not teaching, the second opinion, how should I be part of it? I don't know what we're talking about. Rav Papa makes a very meaningful integration of the three opinions. The three brachot are one bracha. I think that is a master insight in these three brachot. We looked at the Talmudic source and then the Sidur. Now I want to show you for the last few minutes an insight by Rav Kook. If we understand the meaning that we have the mitzvah to learn in order to teach Rabbi Yochanan, in order to understand what Judaism is all about, part of the Jewish tradition, and be unique from all nations to be chosen. Now, if that is the Talmudic source, I want to show you a special insight by Rav Kook. Rav Kook was a brilliant mind with an unbelievable knowledge, but most importantly, an intuition for sources in a very creative way. And he goes back to the 20th century, late 19th, 20th century. And he has a small commentary, which is much later. He is not a classical, it's not an explanation on the Talmud, but it's a beautiful insight from him, which is extremely meaningful. He asked, after having said these three brachot, we have in our Sidul a selection of three sources from the Bible, from the Mishnah, and from the Gemara. The source from the Bible is Birkat Kohanim. The priests in the temple, they said, Yevarecha Hashem v'yishmarecha, Yer Hashem panav alecha v'yichuneka, Yisa Hashem panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. That's what the priest said in the temple.
Why do we take this pasuk? Limud Torah is not for the priests. It's for everybody. Good for Rav Kook that he himself was a Kohen. Rav Abraham, Yitzhak a Kohen Kook. But it's for everybody. If I'm a Yisrael, and it's for the Jewish people, why should we start with Birkat Kohanim? So Rav Kook has a very interesting insight why we take that. The pshat is that the Kohanim were those who were teaching the Torah. So they are the messenger of Limud Torah. But Rav Kook goes in a much, much deeper way. And I'm pleased to show you the text here, which is brought in his Siddur. And he says a fascinating insight. We will read this pasuk in 2 days. At Matan Torah, in Shmot Perek Yutet, it says, before Hashem gave us the Torah, gave to the Jewish people the Torah, it says that you should be the Jewish nation. When you come to Har Sinai, you should be Mamlechet Kohanim V'goy Kadosh, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. For whom should you be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation? Sgula mikol amim, for the entire world. So if we have the Torah, we have the obligation to teach ourselves, to educate ourselves, our children, but we have at the end to serve for all other nations in the world. And the wording is, we should be a kingdom of priests. Rav Kook explains by this pasuk, which we are going to read just before Matan Torah and Shmot 19, Yutet. That's the meaning of the Torah. In the same way that the priests in the temple were teaching the Jewish people, the entire nation should be priests to teach the entire world. So Rav Kook has a very universal approach. Learning and being a priest is not just within the Jewish nation. It is also outside the Jewish nation. Mamlechet Kohanim v'goy kadosh, sgula mikol ha'amim. We should bring the message of monotheism, of ethics, of the Ten Commandments, and all the mitzvot, which are relevant for the entire world, we should bring it to them as well. That's a beautiful, you see it has 7.5 lines by Rav Kook, and this explanation, his explanation is explained in a beautiful paper by Rav Chamiel, how his teaching of learning for the Jewish people has a relevance for the entire world. And Baruch Hashem, Matan Torah, Christianity, has the New Testament with the teaching of their religion, is based on Matan Torah. So that brings a very, very universal aspect. I want now to go back to Rav, to our analysis of the very Talmudic sources. You learn yourself, opinion one. You teach your family yourself, and you teach others, and you teach your children and grandchildren, and you teach the entire nation, number two. The third opinion, Rav Hamnuna, by doing so, you are aware that we are part of the Jewish legacy, of the tradition, the Jewish history from Har Sinai, one nation under all the other nations. If that's the flow that we say, Rav Kook says, the next example of Birkat Kohanim that we say right afterwards comes to teach us not only the Kohanim, it comes to teach the entire Jewish people. We should all be priests for the entire world. So if the first bracha is me with my books, the second bracha is me with my students, and the third bracha is every Jew as part of the Jewish tradition, according to Rav Kook, the choice of Birkat Kohanim is we in the context of the entire world. That fits very, very nicely, and I wanted to add that. And I summarized the shiur that we looked at the source in the Gemara. We have three opinions which appear there independently, but they are well connected because there is a narrative. There is an educational narrative between these three brachot, and there is a flow. And we understood that Rav Papa was a big mind if he said, take them all together, and we looked at the Birkat Kohanim according to Rav Kook. So that should create not only a tikkun for the Jewish people, it should be a tikkun haolam for the entire world, that we should teach others. Matan Torah is for the entire world. I hope the explanations were clear and meaningful, and you will find all the sources on the website. Here is my email address. I'm happy to try to answer questions or to hear comments and suggestions. And if there is any question, I'm very happy. We have 3 minutes for questions, please.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Benny. Very interesting. Thank you very much. There are, I don't know if you see the chat box, otherwise I can just read the questions to you. I guess the main question of the comment really, the sad comment, the famous Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan lost, you know, 10 children. He had the tooth of his youngest child. So he didn't fulfill the three generations. I'll let you comment on that. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan says, if you teach your children, your grandchildren, lo yamush mi pizer v'zarat olam. But he says it's not necessarily true by Rabbi Yochanan.
So let me take that. That's a very tragic Gemara that he had 10 children and he lost all of them. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. And we have a famous scholar, Esh Kodesh Rebbe mi Pieszecke, in the ghetto Warsaw ghetto. And he had wonderful teachings. And I look at his books and I see how he educates the students, Chovat HaTalmidim. And I want to see, reading his beautiful educational insights, the pedagogical insights, and I want to see, where did he teach? And he was hungry, starvation in the Warsaw ghetto, and he died. And I see this wonderful personality. And I actually thought about this connection. Rabbi Yochanan had a tragic life in his family, but he was a dedicated, full passion for teaching. And I think that just enhances, it says when he came for Nichum Avelim, it happens a tragedy to somebody else, he came and taught them, I lost 10 children, life goes on. And if I hear from his mouth, you have to teach your children, it says at the very beginning of the Rambam, of course, 1,000 years later, at the beginning of Hilchot Talmud Torah, it says you have to teach yourself, your children, and all the students. He was so dedicated and engaged in teaching, learning and teaching, that everybody he could teach was actually his student. The tragedy that he lost his 10 children remains unexplained, but he, despite that, he keeps teaching. The very fact that today we were talking about him for quite a while, teaching is the main message. Okay. I didn't have time to look at other questions. Are there other questions?
Just a comment, of course, the Rambam says to speak Hebrew is the mitzvah kala. That's a famous comment of the Rambam, mitzvah kala to speak Hebrew. I think that's it. Yes, thank you. All right, thank you very much. Okay, I'm giving a shiur tomorrow morning, 9:30 a.m., a little bit earlier, as we always do, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. Tomorrow, my shiur will be on, did the Jewish people accept Torah willingly? It seems to be a pretty blatant contradiction. We'll try to analyze and talk about that, everybody.